In the name of God, who is glorious in the saints above and below. Amen. So, when you think of a saint, who do you think of? That's not a rhetorical question. I want you to talk back to me. Who do you think of when I say the word saint? So loud so that I can hear it. Jesus. Francis. Michael.
Emily.
Paul. Good. 2 points for Robin. Teresa of Calcutta. Anne. Wonderful. Peter. Oh, you're too kind. Well, but you're... So you're getting closer, but not quite. But yes. So the saints, as we learned this in catechism or wherever we went to church, are those people who are exemplary. They are the ones who were all in and gave it their all, and we kind of map to. This is a feast. All Saints started in the 9th century, and it was a way of gathering up all the feasts of the martyrs into one and say, let's just celebrate them all, and let's expand it to all those holy women and men who we can regard with that kind of exemplary standout lives. But if we scroll back earlier, a few more centuries, to the time of the Apostle Paul, he and the community used that word significantly differently. So Paul wrote to the saints at Philippi, or today the saints at Ephesus, and he meant the whole community, everybody in the building. He wasn't saying you and you and you, but not you. He wasn't calling out the exemplary ones. For him, he started with that sense that to be in the bookends of God's belonging is to be a saint. But Paul never leaves it alone. Kind of radical as he is, he always raises the bar, and he raises it really, really high, saying, now that you're already all saints, y'all get the prize, now live into that. Oh, but there's more. Okay. What does that mean? I love what St. Augustine in the 5th century said it this way when he invited people to communion. Broke the bread. Behold what you are. Become what you receive. That invites us into a deeper exploration. Behold what you are and become what you receive. So, again, let's fall back to Paul and his language today in the reading. Sit with us this week and listen to how elevated this is. We have been destined according to the purpose of God. We receive this spirit of revelation as we come to know God. As the eyes of our heart are enlightened, we come to know the hope to which we are called. The riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints, the immeasurable power of God's greatness. Wow, wave on wave of that is who you are. That is what this is. Paul never wants us to never forget that our work is God's work of building the world in love. Martin Luther King said, building beloved community. So Paul wants us to use this word saints early and often and profligately for everyone, including ourselves, to remind us what is our core identity and what is our destiny. In fact, this might be some of the most mind-blowing language in all of Scripture. His tag at the end of the reading today, Paul's, who says, we, the church, are the fullness of Christ, who is all in all. Sit with that. That it doesn't get any bigger than that. It doesn't get any fuller than that. God, that is God's yes to everything. So to be a saint is just to say yes to God's yes. To say, oh, okay, I'll go in that direction. But that is really countercultural. So that's why we come here week by week, to remind us what it is we are actually doing. So, saints of God, what is our work? We're building beloved community. How does that happen? So every week we get another facet of it from Scripture, especially the Gospel. Today, it is one of the most powerful and maybe enigmatic pieces in all of Scripture. It's several versions in different Gospels. Today is Luke's. There are four blesseds. Blessed are you who are poor, who are hungry, who are weeping, and who are hated and excluded. So then, of course, there are four woes, and they are exactly the pair. So, you who are rich, you who are full and satiated, you who are laughing, you who are spoken well of. There is nothing wrong with those things in themselves. And it might look on the surface like Jesus is just playing that same old game of saying, well, these are the good people and these are the bad people, and the good people are going to get theirs in heaven and the bad people are going to get theirs in hell. There's nothing new there. So that's not what Jesus is doing. He is doing something far more transformative in linking those. There is a relationship, and we're seeing it more and more clearly as we listen more and more deeply. That sometimes, maybe even more than we recognize, there are those who are poor and left behind because others have built things in a way that they profit from that. They are rich. There are some who hunger, and that is connected to others who have their storehouses full to overflowing. That some people's pleasure and privilege comes at the expense of others. And the work of all of the saints, of all of us, is to little by little start to see the relationships, where those things are connected. Because it's not just, we talk about the system or how the system is built, but it shows itself up in the way we all live our lives and relate. Now, the thing that gets really radical as Jesus does his own version of turning everything around and around is that he says the way to address this is not with judgment, but with mercy. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse. And then this greatest life hack of all. It's so successful that we all teach it to our children. We call it the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Just go figure out how you want to be treated and then treat everybody else that way. It's really simple. And it's really hard. We all know how to be saints, really. We all know what justice looks like for us. We all know how we wanted to be treated. So we've already figured this out. We know how to treat everyone else. It's kind of beautiful image of like, hold the mirror up, not to other people, see, but turn it around and see others, you know, see yourself and then say, oh, that's how it works. Yesterday at we had our diocesan convention. Now that's where all the churches of Connecticut, all the Episcopal churches of Connecticut, there's two delegates from each church, and then the clergy and the bishops all get together. It's 300 some and more online, and it's a business meeting and more than that. And in one of the exercises that we had together as a way of kind of taking ourselves into that space of doing that work, We had a litany that was praying for a lot of those broken things in the world. And after we prayed the litany, we were invited to find a stranger and sit ear to ear. And in the light of what we heard in that litany, to simply speak for 2 minutes each and listen to what broke our heart. It wasn't a very icebreaker question. It was kind of like right into the deep end. But it worked. And what I heard from this stranger, and I've heard myself saying, were places where we were broken, where we felt how we were complicit in the brokenness of the world. And then the second question came, what do you feel, how do you feel called to act in light of this? Again, it's kind of strangely, it was so instant. Both of us had something we could say, oh, this is the next step I feel called to take. And both of us were talking about listening and relationship. And I bet that that was somewhat similar for those other 300 people. And as I was sitting there, I thought, I don't even know who this person is, really, but I see a saint. I could see a saint even when they were just telling me how much they hurt and how sorry and how what their brokenness was, and I shared mine. Something shines through. If we can see this in each other, start to see it in each other, that is the work. Seeing it in ourselves, making those connections, reconciling these opposites. That rebuilds the world in love. One of my seminary professors was teaching us about baptism, something we're going to do in a couple of minutes. We've got two new saints to baptize. And I say new saints, and it's just us recognizing that they've been saints their whole lives. God has burned in their heart to say, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to point my life. Seminary professor talking about baptism said, the real question is not, have you been baptized? But it's, are you being baptized? That this is a step-by-step-by-step process of life, of constantly opening, of allowing, of saying yes to God's great yes to us. So we are led in that by these two beautiful people, Michaela and Manoa, and we say yes and see the sainthood in each other, and even when you look in the mirror tonight, today, later, in yourself. So I invite you all to stand as we reaffirm our baptism. And that happens on page 7. But before we launch into that, just spend 30 seconds of quiet silence, aware of the person on your left, aware of the person on your right, aware of the person in front of you, aware of the person behind you, aware of the person who is the saint for you in your life. Aware of the person right now you find most difficult to love. This is the body of Christ who fills all in all.